There you go.
All right. Welcome to the Cameron Park CSD's Park and Recreation Committee meeting. Today is July 10th, and it is 6:33 p.m. So, call this to order. General Manager, if you could call the roll.
Director Israel.
Here.
Director Bazette.
Present.
Both here. Sydney's filling in for Monique today,
yes.
Right? All right. Approval of the agenda.
I have reviewed the agenda. I move that we approve it.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Essentially approves it. Approval of the conformed agenda.
Well, I did not attend that meeting. I reviewed it and it looked appropriate. I would move to approve the conformed agenda.
Second that also.
Thank you.
All right, so moving right along. Open forum.
Seeing none.
We have any members of the public here, and we are not Zooming, right?
You're correct. We are not Zooming.
So we will move on to department matters. And the first item is automatic entry gate for Cameron Park.
Yes. So, late last fall, the district initiated a request for a proposal to automate the entry station at Cameron Park Lake. We received three bids. I think that the staff at the time were getting ready to bring that forward to the Parks and Rec Committee and the Board of Directors when the storms of late 2022 and early 2023 commenced. And this was set aside due to lack of resources to move it forward. So we are bringing it back to you again. Tonight's recommendation is for you to discuss the merits of automating the entry. I don't have that third proposal. Mike Grassley was on vacation, and so he does have it, but I didn't want to bug him while he was on vacation.
Did he have a recommendation of the three companies? Did you have a recommendation?
He really liked the box. The parking box was the vendor that he preferred, but I have no way of reviewing that or adding credibility to that. And so I would say that the parking box is the one that he preferred, but I would like, as the general manager, to take a look at all three proposals and kind of wrap up our recommended vendor for the board. So I don't have a recommended vendor for you. Again, was looking for kind of your take on the merits of the project, and if it is something that is of interest to you and you think it would be a good thing, then we'll come back to the full board. I can brief you individually as a park committee members before I go to the board. I wouldn't call for another meeting, but then we'd go to the board with a selected vendor. That's okay with the committee.
Well, I had some questions.
Yeah, good. And Kim, what's the cost savings for staff?
So I actually talked to Christina about this as well. So in staffing costs, we don't have the final numbers for 22-23 yet, but in 21-22, our kiosk staffing hours, which that was an actual full year of full staffing, was $30,000 plus an additional $500 in workers' comp, which is obviously the potential savings there. In addition to that, there's other, you know, because of the location of it, we have to purchase bottled water to be out there, and the internet and the staffing costs associated with counting deposits and all that. So there's kind of this additional trickle down that comes out of staffing that entity.
There's a lot of efficiencies. So Jim's looking for something. So what's your questions? I'm sorry.
So first of all, the quotes we got appear to be equipment only.
Yes, equipment and installation. Okay. When I saw the parking box, it was installation.
That was my question, too.
Well, installation of the equipment, not the physical improvements to the entrance that will be required.
So, such as?
such as the foundation and footings for the equipment.
Because they had one picture that showed an island. Is that what you're thinking
of? Yes, of course.
Yeah.
How does the power and internet get to that location?
So the power and the internet is all at the kiosk.
Right.
I say it's already there.
Well, it isn't. It's at the kiosk.
But this would replace
sure that's
the
where the
gate would be.
Is going to go.
Are you
going to
remove the kiosk? Is that the plan?
Yeah.
So you're still going to have improvements. You're going to have an island. You're going to have asphalt work. You're going to have fencing work.
Okay.
You're
going to
have underground piping for power and internet.
So we shouldn't have any. So
who's going to install that?
We will have a conversation with the vendor.
Okay. Yes.
So, and we will figure out those costs, because when I looked at this proposal, and this is why we're only bringing to you the merits of the project, my assumption, without verification, is that all of those costs are included in that parking box quote. But
that's
if they're not...
That was not my impression.
And that wasn't your... Okay, yeah. Okay.
If you want to start off with the merits, I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
But I would like to see, if it comes back to this committee, or if it goes straight to the board, an actual monetary, analysis, not just we told you you would save money. So I want to see it in a spreadsheet that says it's going to cost us this much. These are our annual costs, right? Because you're going to have costs
versus
associated with this thing. It's going to cost us this much to operate it, it's going to cost us this much to maintain it, and it's going to save us this much because we spent this much on staffing and keeping the kiosk. But structurally, the project, for example, was this bid with prevailing wage?
It should have been. I can check the RFP to make sure, because
there's
usually we...
There
isn't, because usually we put it in the RFP. So
no.
I will double check that.
If it's over $25,000, it needs to be prevailing wage.
Is that a state law?
Yes,
okay. It is.
So that needs to happen. Are we dealing with multiple contractors now on this? Or are we going to just have it Brian, who does it all? And then a drawing of what it, this is where it's going to be. We actually figured this out and wrote it down and measured it, and it all fits.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you got to have something. Because right now, we don't even know where it's actually going to be physically sitting. There's no design.
Okay.
It's just an equipment code. So I think you guys have work to do before you bring it.
Oh, yeah.
Either to this committee or to...
The full board. Okay.
Then getting into the real details... What do we want that system to do? And what I'm seeing as being, quote, is it will take change, dollars or bills, and credit cards, along with an RFID reader, a camera system, and an ability to call somebody from it. So I think we need to take a hard look at that. Get rid of the cash part, because part of the reason we want to get rid of this is we don't have to go collect money out of it every day. And if we are taking bills and change, we're going to have to go collect money out of it. Do we really want somebody to be able to call up and say, hey, this is a problem? That means somebody has to be on the other end to answer it. We don't want that.
Right.
The video, what's the use of that? Now, maybe it's a video of just taking a picture of the thing for when it gets, vandalized or something. But what other good use is there? So I would encourage staff to take a hard look at what options we're asking for in this. Because I think we should go pretty bare minimum on it. People can either swipe their annual passes or stick their credit card in there. That's how they get in.
Yeah. My concern about not having the change, and this is a conversation probably with Kim and the people that work at the kiosk now, is there's a lot of kids that come through, I would think. And there's a lot of families that don't necessarily have an ATM card.
Yeah, and that's a, just a part of our neighborhood.
We actually find a lot of our seniors don't.
That's also true.
Yeah.
It's a $4,000 option plus the labor and issues associated with collecting that money. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it?
I looked at that and had the same thought process, but I thought a lot of people in our community don't use credit cards and don't use
online. I would be against collecting money at that. And it's just, if you don't have a credit card, you can't survive nowadays. I'm sorry, but that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So the flat rate box, credit card only, is $11.9. There was a price in here for the flat rate box with the credit card and bills, but it was quoted.
It's the upgrade for each.
Yeah, and coin. Credit card and coins is $13.9. Flat rate box, credit card and bills is $14.9.
Doesn't give change.
I didn't think that was important. I think if it's what is the cost? I never saw that or never, because of course I haven't been a part of that conversation.
$28,000.
No. Oh. What is the cost for entry?
Oh,
currently?
No. What's it going to be? What's the proposal?
The fees would be the same.
No, but you're paying by car, aren't you?
And I think that is where some of that conversation ended.
I see.
Because I think that some of the conversation about the fees, I think that they were looking to go to a flat rate.
You would have to, right?
Yeah. Plus, the first day I parked them in, and we've been pushing this for several years.
So I think that
a family of four can go in there for $5? I mean, I don't know what it is.
So you were going to a per car fee instead of a walk-in fee.
Yes, that was
and people walked in.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have to do a coin because the kids on bikes can go in.
No. And it would be single. If it's like $5, they're going to have the bills. There's no change coming back for $5.
Right.
Yeah.
So my understanding was it was turning into a parking fee versus a lake entry fee.
Yeah. Okay. That's been in the conversation now for several years.
Because with this type of box or whatever,
got it.
You wouldn't be able to do a per person.
No.
Got
type
it.
Of situation.
Got it.
So
okay.
One of the questions I had was time of day. And I know some of them, I went to one of the vendors where we could have those conversations. So like the pickleball people early in the morning, that's a low demand time of day. But I'm assuming late afternoon or evening, lots of people want to be at the park. Would there be a cost differential for time of day?
My understanding, now I wasn't fully part of these conversations due to other things, but it would be one rate. Doesn't matter when you come in. Doesn't matter what you're there for.
Or how long you stay there.
It is X amount of dollars to have your car enter into.
What'd you lose?
enter into the lake.
So we would figure that rate out by whatever gate receipt we wanted divided by the number of cars we got last year. At least our estimate.
Yeah. And then, you know, one of the things, I was over there with Mike one day, and, you know, we had suspended pickleball, and he just did a calculation. We lost $20,000 with the park being closed, not having pickleball. I mean, I think we're looking at, a month or a little more than a month. So those are fairly predictable costs that we've lost having this.
And I think that even having this kiosk staffed, we are not capturing the amount of revenue that we possibly could, because people pay attention to when there is a kiosk staff or not, so they're coming in.
Yeah.
You know, the parks are getting unlocked at 6:30 in the morning, but we're not staffing it until 8 o'clock, and they're coming before and after and those types of situations. And so,
I think it's a better situation.
And we don't chase down walk-ins currently, I think all of those things are things that they, when we were moving forward with this, were things that we were thinking this would allow for us to better capture the usage, the revenue of the usage of the park, And I think guide it towards something that the board has really wanted as a as a parking fee versus a user fee.
And one of the conversations with Mike is, could we find additional parking? And he felt we could. And then there is no time limit. They can park for 8 hours there, whatever. There's no, we don't, I mean, there are some systems that would take the license plate and it would be, but we're charging going in, we're not charging going
right.
out.
It'd just be a, basically a in fee and no return rates.
So what we're going to need to do is bring it back to the Parks and Rec Committee. I don't think we're ready to go to the board. But when we bring it back to the Parks and Rec Committee, we'll have all three bids. We'll vet out the capital installation cost better, but then and the third bid. But then the other thing is we're going to have to come with a recommended fee.
Yeah, and I think the data that you're comparing is it doesn't match, you know, because you're dealing with individual charges, where we're looking now per car charges. We don't know what that looks like.
Well, I think what we're So the data that I'm giving is more about what it costs for us
to
have a person there
sure.
to potentially collect the revenue versus taking that cost and applying it to this arm and then looking at it that there's also potential for an increase in revenue because there are missed hours of the day and other workload things with this trickle-down, like I said.
You know, what would be an interesting piece of data is how many hours there's nobody there at the kiosk. I know it'd be hard to get it accurate, but you could give an estimation of that, that we're capturing that many more hours of entry to the park.
Okay.
Yes, I think you got a little work to do.
Yeah, we got some work to do. Well, I tried to get it to the board, but... There's good information. Thank you very much, because I didn't have all that.
I also want to compliment you, because when we're looking at budget cuts, this is a revenue enhancement project that is very logical.
Well, and it's an efficiency. I mean, I think that, you know, we really want to have capitalize on technology and capitalize on efficient processes.
Well, I think it aligns us more with the way entry into our park should be, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Charging to go to Cameron Park Road shouldn't be happening. If you walk up or bike up, you should be able to go right in.
Thank you.
Well,
but not,
people would feel uncomfortable just walking past the kiosk. So they feel compelled to pay. And, you know, I don't think that's a good way to generate revenue.
So you're saying the difference is we're making this clear, this is a parking charge.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that we can still, and we did this at Sacramento County Parks, is, you know, support your parks by an annual pass. So we can still do that, you know, even if somebody
Absolutely.
Walks the lake, you know, support your parks by an annual pass.
Well,
so, I mean, I think that there's a level of that we're still going to have to do because we have so many other HOAs and user gate agreements going on that we can't take that away.
We also pull people outside of Cameron Park. I know for pickleball, they're coming quite a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's revenue enhancement outside of the, although they may get the permits. So if I have a permit, what does it cost me? What will it cost me to come to the park? I mean, that's the question.
The annual pass?
The annual pass.
Nothing.
I don't know that our annual pass would, you mean to purchase an annual pass? Or
no, I only have an annual pass. So I want to go into Cameron Park Lake with this. Currently, if the kiosk is open, there's no charge.
Correct.
And with the parking, what will that look like? There'll be no charge also?
No charge. That's why they want it to have the, barcode reader.
Okay. I just want to be sure that I'm clear on that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I would take a hard look at the security. You know, how are you going to seal it off?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a pedestrian gate that maybe locks automatically at night.
Yeah.
So it doesn't open between... Whatever.
I really like what you said about this is the only park we're charging admission, and it's really a good PR thing that we're no longer going to charge admission, we're only charging parking. You know, so if you want to bicycle or walk over there, there's no charge.
This is something Felicity championed for a really long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm good. I will bring back to the Parks and Rec Committee next month. I appreciate the conversation, and we will have more information and a path forward.
Do you, in determining the cost, are you going to look at other parks? I mean, what are we comparing that entry fee to?
We can compare it to we can see what the county charges. Their county charges at...
We could look into like Lotus. Cordova Parks and Rec has a kiosk because they have river access.
Sacramento County.
Yeah, and Brown Ravine is $10. But you have a boat access.
The kiosk is run by Cordova. So Cordova, who is the Parks and Rec district.
Okay.
So I can reach out to them and see.
It would be helpful just to have a comparison,
Okay, so moving on to Parks and Community Center Donation Policy.
Okay, and help me, I'm coming in again at the middle of this. I understand that there has been some conversation about strengthening our donation policy for amenities in our park system. Specifically, I think that staff has had a difficult time managing the number of benches that people want to put out at Cameron Park Lake. And I know this was a conversation when I was here before, and I think that there's been some initiative to do something else. So there is an existing policy. I think that I don't know that was brought forward before, but there is in policy 1061, naming of district parks and facilities, there is a section that talks about, donations of park benches, memorial donations. So I understand why, maybe that people didn't know that this policy existed. It goes, right here.
Well, here it is, right here, D.
Yeah, item D, creating memorials in an individual's name. So there was some criteria, but, it's citing memorials. It's not citing a gift from, like, an agency or something like that. So what my recommendation would be to break that out of policy 1061, create a new policy. So you have a naming policy, and then policy 1062 would be your donation policy for, amenities such as benches, art, picnic tables, and that sort of thing. And I understand in reading the notes that the bulleted items under discussion were the things that they wanted to make sure were in a policy.
And I think what brought this to a head was some of the parks that become memorials with flowers and pictures and like almost a gravestone.
Yeah, and I don't think I have that.
And there's the one memorial at Cameron Park Lake that is similar to a headstone style.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of a creepy thing. I mean, to me, yeah.
Well, and
you're sitting on a gravestone there, but walking around the lake. Okay.
And I think that's where this conversation started.
Yeah.
Policy or not, it was not either understood or followed in general, and I think that's where this conversation started, was a way to create something that put some structure and some rules around it.
Yeah, I have. Cannot place trinkets.
I guess my thinking is I'd be fine with a separate policy for it, but I think we probably in our best interest to put a fair amount of structure into that policy so that we maintain control of it, of what goes out there. And so not only would it have verbiage like in the bullets there, but it also have a... I don't know what you want to call it, a guide for what the amenities have to look like.
I think the word I've used is menu. And I think Mike had something like that. These are suggested benches or something?
Well, yeah, I would say if you want a bench,
you choose one of these. Yeah,
this is your bench, and you get a 4x6 plaque that you put whatever you want on there. Mm-hmm. Well, with approval of the CSD, of course, as long as it's not offensive, and that would be it. I mean, you don't get to choose the style of bench. You don't get to make your own bench.
No.
You get to make your own table.
Right.
Well, some people would want to do that.
Oh, no, I understand. Oh, yeah, I've been in this for a long time.
Yeah, so I would just
say, if
we're going to create a policy, just create a policy that makes it really clear what we want.
Okay. So I typically create policies that are timeless. So, you know, usually I like to pull a policy up in 5 years and it's still relevant today as it was yesterday. So in here, it cites a park master plan. So, but I agree that that's a rather nebulous term. So let me see if I can, because, you know, what the type of bench that you place at Cameron Park Lake may be different than the type of bench that you put at Rasmussen. So, you know, I think that each park is going to have its unique characteristics. If, say, we build a new park and the theme was nature, we may want to go to wooden benches or something. I'm not saying that we would, but we would want something that's appropriate for that park. So that's why I get a little tentative about putting design criteria in a policy.
Well, but the problem is that it's left to staff to negotiate with whoever.
Correct.
But could you do a compromise, for example? You know, this is a typical or something like that?
We could do examples or something like that. And I think that the committee can certainly. So let me think about it, you know, and see if I can't thread that needle between having a timeless policy versus. Because what I've got here is staff may dispose, district staff determine style, appearance, aesthetics, verbiage, and or images, location, installation, and placement.
Our staff turns over so often that there's no consistency.
Well, but I think that the...
Your manager should have that background, that consistency.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the menu part of that would be in a procedure, which is departmental and with the staff that are there versus putting it in a policy.
Good point.
Turn
it over to staff to look at.
Because if you put that menu in the policy, then every time a business goes out or we no longer want that bench anymore because we filled it up or whatever, then you would have to go back and change your policy. Right?
Well, if we wanted to change the style of bench out of those parks, we would have to change the policy, right?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we wouldn't go in and take out things that just don't match our style guide.
No, but I mean, like, if you put that menu that you guys are talking about with the style and aesthetic into the
policy,
then you're going to have to go change it every time.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot going on here at the district and a lot that is going to go on here at the district over the next 5 years that the board may not want to commit themselves to having to change that policy every single time.
We would have to change it that often. And my concern is when you're not here and you're not here, somebody's going to have a different idea of what the bench should look like. And we got 10 different benches out there in 10 years.
What I can do is, what I have done also is just have the staff take it to the Parks and Rec Committee. So it's not a full board, but it's a procedure.
It could be an attachment that's approved by the board whenever it changes. It's just the attachment's not even possible. Mm-hmm. It could be, it's a way to make that happen. My concern is let's not make it a decision for staff every time someone comes in what it should
be. No, it shouldn't be a decision of staff. There should be a handout that basically, you know, says here's the design criteria that we are using. And it can be updated annually or every 2 years as needed with the staff and a Parks and Rec Committee or something
like
that.
The other part on something, that's fine. You can just change it.
Well, and I can even cite in the policy that that staff will work with the Parks and Rec Committee to update design standards. Okay.
It's the other part that I was pushing for this is people are stuck with benches. are there other features? And I've been to some of these park rec things. There's so many neat things. There's like there's interactive games and things. There's just so many beautiful things or updated playground equipment that people could do other memorials besides benches. So that would be my one of my biases for menu. Or maybe a beautiful sculpture, work of art. I mean, it could be, why are we stuck on benches? Because we just don't know any differently, but yeah.
I think that we have not enforced our own policy. I think that we are the landowner. Bottom line is, we're the landowner and we make the decisions. And So if somebody puts something inappropriate in our park, I'm sorry, but you need to take it out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that the district needs to have a firmer hand in this, and the policy, I guess, will give it, but staff need to feel empowered to say, no, that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
No, we have too many benches. I would like you to plant a tree over here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we could really use a play structure here, or whatever that is. I think that you're right. People get stuck on benches, and there are cemeteries for a reason, and there are parks for a reason.
Yeah, and I know exactly the bench you're talking about, Kim. It does looks like a tombstone to me. It really does. And well,
I think I want to say it's like over by the gazebo.
Yep,
really?
That's it. That's it.
It's like it's a stone.
It's made of granite.
Person's like engraved. Their faces like engraved
I don't know. I don't know how that got past.
Shouldn't have gotten past.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's Anyway.
Okay. I think it was a combination of things.
Okay.
Sounds like we're on
but
the
that's
same.
Kind of where
on the same page.
Yes, I think we all are. I don't think that we are stuck on benches. I think.
No, I don't mean staff. I mean the public wants to donate, and the only thing they can think of is in a bench where there's could be a dozen things that you could donate to a park besides a bench.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure if it's part of this new, but when this conversation initially started, part of it was coming up with ideas of things that we were okay with, like trees. But it's not just any tree. If you're going to donate a tree, it's this type of tree in this park or that type of tree in that
park
type of thing. And that we would have sort of a procedure of like how many of those things we could have in a park so that it wasn't, you know, so if we were full up and we didn't have a need for any more benches or any more trees, then that option was just no longer available.
Or you move to another park.
They can do a donation towards scholarships or annual
there you go. See,
that's
another good example.
That allowed for that. So I think that there was conversation. I'm not sure if that went all the way through, but I'm sure that that's something that could be picked up again if needed.
So I can bring this back to you, to the policy. Okay. I'll bring it back to the Parks and Rec Committee next month.
I guess bring both of them back, redline and create it.
Yep.
All right, great.
It'd be nice to Mike to be part of that conversation too.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the recreation report.
All right. I feel like my report was rather lengthy this time. A couple of things that I just wanted to add to my report on Summer Spectacular. I know I have a little blip in there. I don't have a full report for you yet. Some of that information is still coming in. But things that I just wanted to highlight as far as Summer Spectacular, we did have $21,500 in monetary sponsorships this year, as well as the equivalent of two golf carts that were donated to us for the event. Our entrance fees this year, we collected $35,655 in revenue from wristbands, which is equivalent to about 2,500 wristbands. This is the second year of our AQMD grant. So that will
For the shuttles.
Be factored in to cover shuttles. And then information that's still coming in, we're still calculating with Christina the total cost of wages for the event. I still have vendor donations that are coming in. And we have a couple of minor outstanding costs that are being calculated at this moment. And feedback, we got some really good feedback overall. We have not heard anything negative at this point in time. A lot we heard about was people enjoying the calmer vibe of the event this year versus last year.
The what vibe?
The calmer vibe. Calmer.
And what do they attribute that to? Temperatures being more mild or what?
To be honest, I don't know what the...
Was it fewer people?
It was fewer people, but the people that were in attendance were...
Happy.
A calmer vibe.
Well, okay.
You know, last year we had a lot of angriness at the gates. We also had a lot of drunkenness that was excessive. And we did not have any of those situations this year. While our beer vendor actually stated that they felt that they sold more beer this year than they did last year. So I don't know, do with that what you will.
When did the gates open last year?
Gates opened at 3:30 or 4 o'clock last year.
I thought it was earlier than that.
Earlier.
No? Okay.
Will you bring something back to either this committee or the board as a follow-up?
I have a full report for you. I just wanted to get, I know, I didn't know Monique wasn't going to be here today, but she's always chomping at the bit to get a lot of that information. But some of it, like I said, trickles in, so I'm still collecting money from our food vendors and things like that. And I just kind of wanted to highlight some of that.
So if you could, as part of that, highlight what you think were the successes, what maybe where we need to improve.
Yeah, we have a whole event report.
Yeah, and then,
that
of course,
there's a template
changes
for it.
Next year.
Yep, there's a whole event report that'll give you all the things.
And just because something didn't go well, it isn't a reflection on you. It's kind of like, what can we do better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll, Mike and I have had some conversations, and when he gets back, we'll have some follow-up conversations, and we'll be able to bring you our full event report.
One feedback I got from somebody when they really liked it, and they liked the fireworks, but they said they were disappointed they didn't think there was enough vendors. Have we had more vendors? Because I didn't go this year, but I did the year before.
We don't have vendors.
Yeah, what are they?
We used to.
So in the past, they did.
Uh-huh.
While I have heard from some people throughout the years that they wish that there was vendors, the amount of staff time, inspections, costs associated with that is rather cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
Because every single one of those vendors has to pay us, and we have to pay the county for them to be able to have a booth there, and then that increases our... fire marshal inspections and all sorts of things. So there's a whole myriad of reasons that we have decided to do away with them. And one of the other biggest things is space. I
would just encourage you to write that down.
Yeah, because that should be part of your report.
Because I got, of all of, and they weren't even necessarily negative comments, but gee, there were no vendors, I missed the vendors. That, if there was one thing I heard, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
And we heard that last year. And we told everybody last year, and it was in last year's report. So,
what
I mean, I think. But I don't think that the overall community of Cameron Park wants that.
I don't know. I'm telling you. I heard
that's the feedback I got.
So then
the other one was they had teenagers, and there weren't enough things for teenagers to do. I know the little water things are great for the little kiddies, and I don't know what they would be the events for teenagers, but that might be something to think about. I hate to say it, more like the fair. What do they have more skill-based things that teenagers
might
enjoy?
Yeah, we used to do bucket brigade,
something,
fire hose, tug of wars. And we used to do some fun stuff, and I understand. I mean, we were limited in what we could do this year, and so don't get defensive.
No.
I just think that there's things that we could do, or even the fire department could help us organize.
Or a service club.
Have a booth where
it's the old throwing the baseball and watch the guy fall in the water. I mean, it's timeless.
So, and this will all, like, well, we can talk more about this when I do my report. As, so just something for you guys to chew on. As of right now, for what we did, our expenditures were $40,608, mm-hmm. just for what we did. Mm-hmm. If you add all of those things, that number is going to rise.
Sure it is.
So for an event that you guys want that no money gets put towards.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, board direction was cost neutral.
Cost neutral. That is why we went away from all of those things, because all of those things made this event not cost neutral. Because in the past, they didn't put staff wages to the event.
We just need to be sure that we haven't swung too far, because to be honest with you, this time around, it was beer drinking, getting your ears blasted out, or hanging out under a tree somewhere, because they're, you know, for adults. Because there was no, there's no adult fun over in the tennis court. There's very long lines for the food vendors, very long. That's something else I would suggest. Let's get some more trucks in here. Five trucks or whatever it was, wasn't enough.
Okay.
I mean, you got lines that people are waiting for a half an hour or more in line to get food.
Okay.
I mean, those things, you got enough people and they're wanting to eat.
Okay.
So I don't know how much more some of those, you know, find things that I would just think we pared it down so much that we need to look at adding in some fun stuff.
Okay.
And maybe those aren't costly.
Well, maybe it's we starting earlier, almost a year out there, getting enough sponsors to cover some of those costs. That's, you know, and I think you guys did an admirable job to pull this off this year. I mean,
yeah, no,
I really compliment you for that. But it's, can we do better next year? And I think that's what you're saying. But question I would raise, and I've mentioned it to Jill, is this maybe beyond what we should be trying to do as a CSD? Is this something we should have an event coordinator?
I think the coordinator is not the issue. I think it's the amount of staff and people required to make an event like this happen that is the issue.
Well, let's look at our committee members or our Rotary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could get volunteers to come in. I was there for the car show, you know? I mean, I was, and they had, you know, that was the Chamber of Commerce. So there were event tables, I mean, there were, you know, what over those little tables, everywhere there were little people doing their products or whatever. But, yeah, I think you're, and then Key Club and you know, Ponderosa and all that, although it's summer, it's hard to get the kids.
They don't, we tried.
Yeah.
The answer to you, we reached out to Rotary.
Yeah.
They stiffed us 2 years in a row.
Well,
we've reached out to as many community groups. We started advertising for volunteers in January. It is not, you know, Key Club, they're out of school, so they don't do those things.
Yeah.
We reached out to churches in the area. We reached out to Boy Scouts. We reached out to Girl Scouts. We reached out to every volunteer that has ever come through our space before, and we got two.
Wow.
So we'll bring a full report. Next month, and opportunity on the agenda to discuss it, because I think that, you know, the board did decide to keep Summer Spectacular, but it was for it to be cost neutral, and attendance was down this year, so we'll have to really take a look at that. And if we want more volunteers, more clubs, more of all of those things, that takes more resources.
And it takes staff time to recruit those people.
Yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, we were not budget neutral, or we went over.
We'll find out next month.
So we just don't know at this point.
Right. And so we'll bring a full report. And I believe that both Kim and Mike have some very good recommendations for conversation. So we'll make sure that we can have a lot of conversation about this next month.
Good.
Along with the gift policy and the park entry.
Okay. Anything else, Kim?
And then I was just going to highlight that our previous coordinator, Kayla, will be returning to the district for a short period of time to assist with communications. Her main focus is going to be on regaining control of our website and creating one voice of the district. assisting in making the website information more intuitive. And then she will also create marketing and social media standards and procedures. She'll assist with creating and implementing our marketing strategy, and then other things as we kind of bring it back into the rec department after it having been taken out.
The survey, are you going to speak to that?
Do you have questions on it?
You know, it just was interesting that there's a certain level of negativity that surprised me. And I don't, and then the question, of course, why or what is that about or whatever, it's like you almost have to follow up.
I was going to say, I thought that the negativity was pretty small.
Okay, so I like you got the age, general satisfaction, so extremely satisfied, 16, satisfied, and I'm sorry, I'm colorblind. Is that the 33.9?
So,
33.9 is the satisfied.
So we're under 50%, right?
So as satisfied, we had a neutral, a satisfied, and then the dissatisfied is, let me show you.
Yeah, no, dissatisfied is the green.
Is the green. Everything else was either satisfied or neutral.
Well, this is the this is the positive. So the neutral, why? You know, what does that, I mean, I'm just saying it would be something to, if we knew, had better information or a follow-up, what that means. Extremely dissatisfied with small, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And then, you got the pickleballers, all 11%.
Yeah, they're well represented.
Pickleball is like this really tiny sliver.
Oh, I thought it was the green.
Now, the 11.2 is dissatisfied.
Dissatisfied.
So then the next one is meeting expectations. So blue was tiny, and I think that's red is only 15, and then 3 is, so it's just about that same, just under 50%, isn't it? Maybe a little more. Meeting the expectations.
I mean, 3 would, I think, meet, and then 4 and 5 would be, you know, above.
Is 3 neutral, or does it meet the expectations? Do you remember?
It's neutral.
Neutral.
Yeah.
So it's not neither positive nor negative. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, based on these, you've concluded that we're going to focus a little bit more on adult specialty classes and youth sports, right?
So my recommendation is to seek out additional instructors for adult and youth special interest classes and development of youth sports programs when and if we have the staffing structure that would allow for that.
Yeah. So Sydney, if Kim and I, here comes Ramon, if Kim and I know of somebody who is dissatisfied with something, if mm-hmm. something comes forward to us, we typically address it. I mean, so we know, you know, who would be dissatisfied and what the reason are. So if that ever comes forward.
I can see individual responses, typically those that had a dissatisfied rating, there was like one specific thing mm-hmm. that they were upset about.
Okay.
A lot of it focused around fire contracts, us not saving Rasmussen Ponds.
So there's just an anger towards the district kind of.
And us not being, us not making everything free for everyone.
Okay.
So this is a district satisfaction is not necessarily
parks.
A recreation.
I was thinking it was parks and recreation.
Yeah.
So it's the whole district.
Right.
Okay.
So it kind of encompassed all of it because uh-huh. the Parks and Rec Committee wanted some of that information, and then they wanted to know what people wanted,
okay.
Which is where I listed the top 5 in the categories of how do they want to receive information, because that was something Monique really wanted to know and understand, and then what types of programs would they like to see more of.
No, I appreciate that.
That was a good use of what we're doing well. And so we got a lot of response to that.
Okay.
But I didn't think we needed to.
Yeah, no, that was a good use of the data. You really applied it nicely. So it was just trying to understand, and I think you got it right, is there's kind of a little bit of scapegoating or they're just ticked off about some particular thing.
Well, and I think that in any community, right, people don't come to us for, like, all of them. People come to us for the lake or futsal or, you know, whatever. They usually have their, like, one thing or their two things that they come here for. And if those things are not addressed, then their level of satisfaction with us goes down, regardless of all the other great things that might be happening around them. And I think, too, though, there is a level of lack of interest in participation within this community. I've seen it historically before me, trying to get community input on things, and then also in trying to get respondents to this survey. If they don't love us or hate us, they're not really interested in participating. It's just kind of...
Yeah.
In a survey.
And they move on.
Yeah.
So I think that as we look at this data, we kind of have to understand that and know that you know, we had as much as we pushed this survey out to 2,500, 2,700 people, the amount of people who responded.
But you had 400 responses.
So we had 400 responses.
That's a very decent number.
Yeah.
You know, but I think when you're looking at, we've got 2,500 people on our email list and a community of 19,000, I think, at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of people who participate in our programs that also don't respond to the survey. So I think when we kind of need to take the dissatisfied and the things and look at it, hey, does this apply to us? Is this something, you know, you kind of tell, I could see as responses came in, because we sent this out to all of our user groups to send out to their participants. You know, we really tried to expand the scope of this, and you could see it come in waves. So there was a wave of respondents that came in that were very focused on the Rasmussen Pond area. And then there was a wave that came in that was very focused on giving their input about futsal. And, you know, so you just kind of saw these kind of waves, and then there would be other trickles in where it's like, oh, this is just a person who utilizes our services and got the e-newsletter and participated. So I think...
Was this done before we were looking at Browning at 88?
It started before it, but it ended after that. So,
yeah.
You know, so again...
That would have contributed a lot of negativity.
It just, you know, like I said, waves, right?
Yeah.
You can kind of just see it. But then when we started summer programs, there was also a wave of extremely satisfied about all of the summer programming that was going on. So we just kind of got to take it, look at it, see what we can do, see, like I said, the top five, and then where we can move that forward if it's possible.
I'm like Monique, I really like this, and I want to encourage you to keep doing it, and I compliment you for doing this. And it's just trying to make sense out of what does it really mean. And I think you've got it really down really well. But thank you for that, Kim. And I made the assumption it was all related to parks and rec. And then I really missed the part that it was basically the whole CSD. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's our next survey? It's going to be facilities?
We don't have any plans for another survey. I mean, we certainly can do that, though.
Well, we're going to need to do that, right?
So
someone's going.
What is your goal for a survey about facilities? Oh, you mean for our park improvement plan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, no, for our park... Yeah, no, for our park improvement plan. Yes, we do. Well, we're going to have a big agenda for next month if we pull the park improvement plan forward, too. So we'll have to... Mr. Chair, we'll have to think about that because we don't...
Let's not let anything get in the way of that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to maybe do some agenda scripting.
It does see from the numbers, Kim, that our utilization of the CSD building has been really high.
Well, did you read, if you
the numbers were very impressive.
Yeah, on our first page of our report,
we
bounced back and exceeded pre-COVID numbers.
So we must be doing something right.
Well, I think that we have an emphasis on programming here at the community center and in our parks as well, but I think that having programming here reminds everybody that we have a very viable community center, and it increases rentals as well.
So something, again, I mean, I know we're so short-staffed, but at one time we had programs at Cameron Park Lake. So if we have the staff to do that, that might be a summer program that isn't here but is over there at the lake.
We used to have day camp that would go a day at Cameron Park Lake. So
We've considered for camp taking them out. Mm-hmm. It's the transportation part that is a bit hindering because that increases the cost.
But I think previously they met there at Cameron Park Lake.
Right, we've got to get them back.
No, I mean, if the parents would drop them off and have to pick them up, everything would be at Cameron Park Lake. I'm just saying it's an alternative using these facilities.
Yeah.
At some point, are we impacted? We can't handle any more here. What else could we do? Well, maybe we could use Cameron Park Lake as an example, that park.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
We can take a look at that.
And that might be part of the Parks and Rec plan is you build out, or maybe that's just another model. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more on the recreation? Do we have a facilities report?
No, we do not. You'll have it in August.
All right. Items for, I hope this is August and future committee agendas.
Oh, yes. Sorry, missed that.
Plan review. I agree with that.
I just need to do.
This registration communication software is this ready or should we push this?
No, it's ready.
Well, what I'll do, Tim, is I'll give you a call before our next Parks and Rec committee meeting, and I'll know better about what we're ready to bring forward as far as the Summer Spectacular Report, Park Improvement Plan. We've got a donation policy, and then we've also got the entry. So what I'll do is I'll call you maybe a couple weeks beforehand, and we can decide what we want to
do. All right.
Okay.
So we do not have any items to take to the board. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And matters to and from?
Nothing, no.
I'm just curious, has there been any word on finding spare parts for our slide? You know, last meeting, Mike was looking into that, but
I haven't heard anything. I think it was all Summer Spectacular, and then Kim was gone a week, and now Mike's gone a week. So, but we can, what I'll do is I'll ask Mike to give you an email update.
So another conversation on the slide is at some early point I had talked to Mike, and it was maybe not cost-effective to repair. And we were looking at an alternative. What else could you do on that site?
I believe that they had reached out to try to find out
parts,
because there was one person who refurbished, and we might be able to get a part. However, at the last committee meeting, when we discussed with the inflatable and thing, I believe we all felt it was a better part. All of that would be a better conversation as it relates to park improvement projects, etc., as opposed to having a separate conversation about the slide and then another conversation about parks and projects and improvement. So.
It's just that if it's not cost effective to repair it, then it you've got to do something. It has some level of urgency.
I would say the slide is a separate item because it's an existing facility that needs repair.
If we can repair it, if it's cost efficient to repair it, you know, and we can find a part, we can repair it. I don't have any information to provide you right now.
Okay, because that was the comment. And then the other thing I was suggesting, Rotary is looking for projects like that. I mean, if you had an alternative to the slide and some amount, it might be one that you could move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, the slide's 10 years old, and I just don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the Browning Reserve calls for the entire slide to be torn down and redone in the 23-24
right.
year.
Right.
With that being the case, and even if we could have secured in June this part, it wouldn't have been able to get here and be implemented until after the summer season was over. So that, and I think that that's where the idea that this becomes more of a conversation in the park improvement plan, because there are several different options that we have explored that could be possible. There's repairing, there's other improvements that we've thought about as well, and I think that all of that is why we're, because there's no fixing it for this year. So with that being the case, that conversation could be moved to the park improvement plan versus having it as a separate one.
Yeah, I that approach makes me a little bit uncomfortable because it's an existing facility already. It's not an improvement. It's a piece of equipment that we didn't do a real good job maintaining.
Well,
and that speaks to other oncoming issues that we're going to have to start dealing with around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure hope that if something failed, we just don't abandon them in the future. It's easier just to not replace it than to actually have to come up with the money to replace this piece of equipment.
Or is there a better alternative to a slide?
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But I just think that once we install something, you know, it's there. It's a piece of equipment that we've had. We're working with. I get it. If it's $50,000 to fix the damn thing, and you could buy a new one for $20,000, of course, right? I think we really need to pay attention to operational and maintenance of equipment. And in this case, this was, the rust was identified a year before we discovered how bad it really was. And nothing was done on it last summer. And it sat there another year. Maybe it was already gone and done for and it was really bad anyhow. Who knows? I don't know. But I just think we really need to pay attention to maintenance issues, especially as this facility gets older.
Correct.
And then my thought is, this is something older kids like. So what else is there to do at the pool? And so that would be, is the slide the best use of that space? It also occupies a pretty significant amount of water area. So is that, is it caught, so thinking at, is this, do we replace it, do we repair it, or do we replace it with something else that might meet that same need, that's something exciting to kids?
Well, and I think Kim's proposed that,
yeah.
I mean, with the inflatables.
You had some ideas on that, really.
I think those are all really good ideas, and maybe the slide wasn't the best piece of equipment for our pool. I mean, I know Kim feels that way. And I'm kind of agnostic about it. I don't care either way, but it's a piece of equipment sitting there. There's one rotten, one piece that's rusted on it. Can we get that replaced?
There's more damage. Like when we had the break in, they broke the tube. That's the part that we're unable to get fixed.
All right. Well, again, I don't know all the details, but I just hope we would explore every reasonable approach to fixing it.
And it kind of makes us look bad when we don't fix things as they pop up,
Yeah. No,
we should be on top of it.
Very bad look to the Republic.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Great. Agree.
All right. Pickleball permit.
Oh, yeah. That was my question, too.
The gentleman, Evan, at the planning department is the one that has it. it appears that they are sending letters out to the neighboring residents around Cameron Park Lake. There is a sphere that they do. They're sending those letters about the requested change in the permit. So I believe that's where they are in the process. But again, he's leaving me emails or and then I say, I would like to have a conversation. Please let me know when you're available. Let's have a conference call. And then he calls me and I'm not at my desk. And it's like, and then I did it again. And I said, okay, can we set a time for a call? Sorry I missed it. Oh, I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, because you're start seeing, I mean, Sid and I are getting emails from
people. I'm sure, yeah. And I'm meeting with Lowell on Friday. So.
And I told him, because I played the other day, and I'm all, well, it's held up at the county. Start doing the same
and
thing.
And I had somebody write a letter to Turnbull. He just sent this, and he did a follow-up letter. Mm-hmm. I said, go ahead, this is the guy you want to meet in contact with.
Yeah, no, that's what I told him, is if you guys want to get movement now, you got to bug Turnbull.
Yeah.
Because staff isn't going to get on this. They haven't done anything.
No. And I heard the same thing a month ago. They're sending letters out to the neighbors. That's nothing new.
I know that Mike has been at least twice a week reaching out to, I don't know if it's the same guy, but he's reaching out. He daily checks their, like, progress portal. And he has not gotten any responses prior to his vacation. So
I'll continue to encourage people to.
And that's fine, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. And I just need to understand, because I just need more detail than what he's providing me. I want to know, what is the change in the permit? What is the language going to be? You know, I mean, I just need to understand a little bit more.
Well, the fact that he's not even responding to your phone calls.
Well, he is. He just is not being very specific about it.
Okay.
How about your
Well, that's because he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I mean, that's the bottom line here is.
They've been sending out those letters for, what, several months now?
That's what I've been hearing.
Months. I mean, it's been since the month after it was submitted. So since, like, since May or April.
Yeah.
It's kind of like taking 2 weeks to get your GM schedule put together. Right? Oh, you've been working hard on this, I can tell. No comment. All right. Any other matters to and from? Nope. Sid, do you have a motion for adjournment?
I will so move.
Thank you. I'll second that.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
So we're about an hour. That's not bad.
Yeah, we talked.
Yeah, we're good talkers. Yeah.
It's all right.
I'm sorry, and I don't know if
Tell you that I apologize that the reports weren't more thorough. I'm just still coming into the middle of things and don't have all the information. And I truly felt like Mike needed his vacation this week. So,
well,
Well, and then it was, you know, and the information was scattered around the district. So it'll be better.
Yeah.
As Kim says, it's messy right now, but it'll get better.
Well, I think the beauty of the parks, committee is we're able to raise the questions and issues and have this informal conversation. That isn't much better. And there's nobody here to harangue us,
That's all right. Sometimes no news is good news. Yeah. And if people are feeling like things are good, then that's all good. Okay, so I'm going to stop this.